This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Galley. Our guest this week is Tom Michaels, Director of Government Affairs for United Airlines. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with United's Tom Michaels next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 530 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The global airline industry is making investment in strategies to lessen their environmental footprint and improve sustainability. Tom Michaels, Director of Government Affairs for United Airlines, says the global aviation fuel market is near 100 billion gallons annually. Michael says United's interest in sustainable aviation fuel began with the spike in crude oil prices years ago.
When we saw the price of a barrel of oil go from $50 to $150 in very short order, obviously the impacts of that had ramifications across the economy, but they really hit the airline sector quite hard. And you saw a slew of bankruptcies or M&A activity, et cetera, in the airline sector at that time. Fuel is always one of the biggest costs for airlines. In general, for United, it's our second largest cost after labor, and we're not unique in that. In general, for most airlines, that's our top number two cost. It impacts greatly our profit margin. We sell our products in advance. We're selling you a seat on an aircraft well in advance, often, of when the product is consumed. So vacillations in oil prices are not uniformly passed along to our customer. Very often, we have to eat a good portion of that. But that started us thinking seriously about sustainability, and we define that term holistically. There's environmental sustainability, which is, the commonly understood use of the term, but of course we care about economic sustainability as well. And we think it's, looking into things like sustainable aviation fuel is important over the long term on both fronts. We think that it makes sense to diversify our fuel sources and to ensure that we have at least some way to protect ourselves against the vicissitudes of global oil market price volatility. The way to do that, it's not cheaper today, of course, to buy SAF, sustainable aviation fuel. We call it SAF for short. It's certainly not cheaper than buying conventional jet fuel today, but you have to start somewhere, and it is, priced in different ways. There are different factors that go into its pricing and so forth. And so to the extent that we can nourish that market and grow it, we think that it is an important part of our resiliency in the face of, market trends. Number two, and not subservient to that, is we think that it's really important to be cleaner. Our customers think it's important. We think that being sustainable is a market differentiator for us, and our leisure customers care about it. Our corporate customers care about it. People want to feel good about what they're doing when they fly in United. I think they know that we take sustainability really seriously.
So the International Maritime Organization ultimately delayed a shift, but they were discussing moving toward renewable fuels. Is there a global airline organization that would make a decision where all the airlines would be making a move, or is this being done from a economic and environmental standpoint where you try to balance the price of an airline ticket with the statement that you're making towards sustainability?
You mentioned the IMO. We do have something comparable to that in the aviation sector. It's called the International Civil Aviation Organization, or ICAO for short. And ICAO is sort of like IMO. It's like the wing of the UN, if you will, that deals with aviation issues and aviation issues of all sorts, but sustainability is included in there. A number of years ago, they negotiated a global agreement called CORSIA, the Carbon Offsetting Reduction Scheme for International Aviation. CORSIA basically was an agreement that all airlines should try to manage their emissions that are emitted outside of countries, their international emissions, right? So we fly all over the world. As we fly, we're combusting our fuel and it's going into the atmosphere. And in general, the approach that seemed the best back when that was negotiated was airlines should have to purchase carbon offsets to cover all those emissions and try to achieve carbon neutrality for their international aviation emissions by a specific date and time. We, the United States, signed the agreement, but we haven't fully implemented it. I mean, whether we will or not, I think, remains to be seen. But we do report our emissions under the CORSIA agreement. And at some point, we may be expected to go out and purchase offsets to cover those emissions. Or we can use SAF. And United is keen to pursue that latter point. As a general rule, we don't like spending money on things that are sort of outside of our value chain. And we sort of see carbon offsets as being that way. Whereas if we're spending money on fuel, that's kind of within our supply chain. We would call that an inset instead of an offset, an in-sector reduction. And so we think that's the better way to go.
Let's look at some numbers. If you could share in a ballpark, how many gallons of fuel United uses a year? Or what about all the airplanes in the U.S., or for that matter, all of the airplanes on the globe? How big is this airline fuel market?
I'm glad you asked. United alone uses about 4 billion gallons of fuel a year total. This year, we use a little more. In years past, we may have used a little less. In general, aviation fuel consumption is increasing along with travel demand. Again, 4 billion gallons a year, that's just United. When you take in the rest of the U.S. airlines, you're looking at about 20 billion gallons plus a year. Globally, it's about 100 million gallons per year. So this is a tremendous untapped market, we believe, for U.S. fuel producers and SAF producers in particular, and the folks that make the feedstocks upon which these sustainable fuels are made from. So corn, soybeans, et cetera. Right now, SAF is a real drop in that bucket. We use more than almost anybody else, and we're at around 25 million gallons of SAF. You know, compared to 4 billion gallons, that's not very much, but it's about double what we did the year before and the year before that. We are increasing it significantly, and we think it's a tremendous market opportunity for agriculture and our rural communities.
So if you could share the 4 billion gallons that, let's say, you used in 2024, what was your price for the petroleum product on an average? And if enough SAF was available, how much more does it cost?
So, you know, jet fuel prices, you can follow them online with relative ease. Not quite so much with SAF yet, but jet is, you know, around $2 a gallon. We generally say that SAF costs are around 2 to 4 times that. And that depends on a lot of things. But we don't have a fully mature retail market for SAF today. There's only a few producers of it. It's sold in bulk transactions. that are typically pegged in some form or fashion to jet prices. You know, these are complex, bespoke commercial negotiations that happen, so we don't talk about prices. They do have relatively recently, I think S&P does report on SAF prices, but those prices that you see there don't always reflect the reality of what's going on. I was just going to say there's cost and there's price, right? You know, the cost of SAF is typically about 2 to 4 times the cost of jet fuel in terms of production. What we actually pay is much closer to parity. That's because of a lot of different factors, but number one are government incentives, things like the Renewable Fuel Standard or the California Low Carbon Fuel Standard, or the Section 45Z Clean Fuel Production Tax Credit. These are really important government incentives that help us cover the cost of that green premium. Also, we work with some of our large corporate customers who buy a lot of tickets on United, and some of them have agreed to pay a little bit more for their ticket prices. And in exchange, when we use SAF on the flights that they're flying, they are able to claim what they call the Scope 3 emission reduction benefit. So they can reduce their corporate greenhouse gas emissions by paying a little extra to use that SAF on board our aircraft.
As you're using SAF, are you using a 100% sustainable aviation fuel in some flights, or are you blending that with some existing petroleum-based fuel?
Unfortunately, current rules do not allow us to use 100% SAF in our engines. And the weird reason is that it's actually too clean. A lot of the rubber seals and things like that you find in engines are specifically engineered to swell in certain predictable ways. And one thing that SAF makes less of is particulate matter and soot. So the seals on the engine don't swell properly if the fuel isn't quite dirty enough. But we're going to get around that soon. But at the moment, you have to blend SAF with conventional fuel, and you can't go higher than a 50-50 blend, 50% SAF, 50% jet fuel. As an operational matter, most SAF used today is actually blended somewhere around 30-70, 30% SAF to 70% conventional fuel. But we predict 10 years from now that won't be much of an issue.
So another question. You mentioned that United is using a limited amount of sustainable aviation fuel, and there's not a lot of it available. So the question is, how much SAF is being produced domestically, and are there other sources of SAF around the globe that may have a leg up on the U.S.?
I think today the U.S. continues to be a production leader in producing neat SAF. And in terms of what was produced in the U.S., let's just look at the numbers. In 2016, which is sort of when commercial production of SAF began, we had 1.9 million gallons produced total in the United States. So most of that was used by United Airlines. As of this point in 2025, we've already produced well over 100 million gallons here at home. We did import some. The imports were not insubstantial. We imported about 35 million gallons from overseas. But we are really a market leader, and we've seen our capacity go up tremendously. And that's primarily with some of these large facilities that are producing a mixture of renewable diesel and SAF. And I'm thinking about Phillips 66's Rodeo facility in California, or the Diamond Green Diesel facility in Texas. And they have dramatically greater production capacity than some of the older, smaller SAF plants. And so that's really exciting. Now, over in Europe, what you're seeing is primarily what they call co-processed fuels, which means they're taking a conventional oil refinery and they're blending into the crude oil feed some amount of bio oils along with that crude oil, and they just run it together through the refinery at a rate of about 5% of the total. And you're seeing a good amount of that there. And that is what is feeding Europe's mandates. They have laws in place now that make folks use SAF. I wouldn't regard us as being behind Europe. I think our technology is substantially ahead of Europe, but companies will comply with the law, and the fuel producers over in Europe have a mandate to do it. So that's going to give us a run for our money. There's a lot of, let me call them, peculiar rules on that mandate that may ultimately stymie real investment and growth over there. Their production is going to go up.
Is United Airlines making investment into the sustainable aviation fuel industry to see growth?
Absolutely. We're doing this two ways. One, of course, we're purchasing fuel. We have offtake agreements with suppliers, and we announce them generally as they come along, but we've purchased fuel from our friends at World Energy, our friends at Neste, Montana Renewables, Phillips 66. We're a significant consumer, and of course that business helps them stay viable. But we're also trying to drive the technology. We're trying to drive commercialization and scaling in this sector. And so a few years ago, we set up a corporate venture capital organization within United. That's called United Airlines Ventures. And United Airlines Ventures invests in a lot of different things. It's not just related to energy. But energy has been a significant part of its investments. It's a $200 million fund, and they've gone out and targeted investments in electric aircraft. They've gone out and targeted investments into actual SAF facilities, as well as to technology providers all along that supply chain. Catalysts, batteries, hydrogen, everything that kind of goes into that recipe for making a more sustainable fuel. And then we saw some success with that UAV, United Airlines Ventures Flutter, and so we launched something more broad than that called the Sustainable Flight Fund. United seeded that fund ourselves with our capital, but we went out to a variety of partners. Some of them are corporate customers. Some of them are our OEMs. Some of them are other airlines. And they have given us funds to invest via the Sustainable Flight Fund across the spectrum of sustainable flight options. And we're seeing some really exciting results from that. And we're using our very specific customized knowledge from being in that market to target emerging technologies, emerging companies, people that are doing things a little bit better than their neighbors. And we're giving them a little bit of capital and helping them get off the ground. And that is something that I think is going to be really exciting. And it gives us a direct stake in the success of this sector. And it's something that we are not doing, again, as a charity. We expect this to make money, right? We think that this fund will realize returns for United and for the other limited partners that are a part of it.
Tom, when we look at Washington and we look at states, what are things that government is doing now? And what does government need to do, in your opinion, to help bring this market to its potential?
I'd say that, the number one thing that governments can do is incentivize the consumption and production of these clean fuels like SAF. And we started doing that for SAF with the SAF Blenders Tax Credit that was brought into existence in 2022. Unfortunately, that expired and was replaced by the Clean Fuel Production Credit at the federal level. which is good, but frankly less good for SAF than the SAF, the very bespoke SAF blender's tax credit was. But it's still a major incentive, and we're delighted that Congress agreed to extend that credit when they passed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. Looking around the country outside of the federal government as to what's important, the most impactful policy that we see is in the state of Illinois, which recently allowed airlines to claim a significant tax credit when they use SAF in Illinois. And we were the first to take advantage of that tax credit. And it is a significant contributor to our ability to invest in these fuels and to use them there. And there are other states that have followed suit. We're seeing SAF tax credits emerge in Minnesota, Nebraska. They're being debated in Michigan, in Nevada, in Hawaii. And so those are all very, very exciting for us. And we'd love to see them propagate, because we do think United has put our money where our mouth is. I think the airline industry as a whole has put its money where its mouth is, but we can't do it alone. We do need help, to get over the hump. And we think in a few years, if we make the right policies that encourage investment and growth, that this will be a very important industry to come and a very important competitive advantage for the United States.
Are Washington's incentives long enough to encourage investors to know that they can build the facility and see it come to production with a return on their investment?
In a word, they're not long enough, unfortunately. You really need an incentive that matches the capital investment cycle, and that's, roughly 10 years. You need that certainty that you can design a plant, get it permitted, get it built, and have it in production and be able to take advantage of a tax credit for several years to get that cost of capital down. And so you really do need something that's in place for around 10 years. With that said, every little bit helps. It's not ineffective to have these shorter term tax credits. It's just not as quite as efficient as it would be if we made the commitment up front, look, this is the direction we're going to go, and we're going to stick with it, and we're going to give our companies the lead time they need. That would be the maximally efficient investment of the taxpayer's dollar. They did extend it for 2 years, and that comes close. If you think about it as all being kind of one general direction, the United States is committed to investing in SAF for a full 7 years, and that comes really close. It comes a lot closer than most tax credits ever have to having that kind of lead time. And we think it represents a significant bipartisan commitment to SAF in this country.
Well, Tom Michaels, it is encouraging from the agriculture side of the equation to see such an investment and such an interest by United Airlines in sustainable aviation fuel, providing opportunity for the nation's producers in rural America. Thank you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Tom, it is Open Mic, and today you get the last word.
Jeff, thanks so much for having me on and getting to talk about my nerdy little passion, which is sustainable aviation fuel. I'm delighted to talk to you. I'm delighted the ag sector is as excited about this as I am. I think the market opportunities here are tremendous for you and your listeners and the U.S. farmer. I would love to continue this conversation, and thank you so much for having me on. This has been great.
Our thanks to Tom Michaels, Director of Government Affairs for United Airlines. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nellie.